check. And I know many girls want, I don't care. But don't be angry when he parks you like he parks his car. When he buys another one. Oh, you didn't know it flows like that. He parked the car. One of his acquisitions. He parked you. Because you're one of his acquisitions. Maybe God that gave you the man, maybe you. Maybe God that gave you to the man. Maybe God. May God be involved. God himself. Alright, that's my daughter. Find me a real man. This one looks a bit raw, but it's okay. It will become. Start boiling him. Scary, you drop your wife. She will create an atmosphere that will boil you. And with time, you might be very happy. Wow, my husband. I'm very proud of my husband. At the beginning. Boy. Can never marry a boy. Be a man. Boys become men. Be careful you do not walk away from a boy man and marry a man who becomes a boy. I've told you. And so they talk and they laugh. Remember, it's better to be laughing while saying tough things. I could be boning. Listen to me. Why? You cannot be frowning every time. If you are wise, may God lead you in this world. Amen. Lanky Bengele boy like this. Does that mean that's how he'll be tomorrow? He'll be like me, you'll be wondering. Have you seen my picture where I'm married nearly? Told my wife, don't put this food so much. You're not here. Have nothing to do with this. I'm struggling to OH. That same Pengele boy, he may be three times my size, walking like this, waddling. Not walking, they waddle. Don't judge a book by its cover. Tomorrow, that boy may be savvy businessman like this. Very bad. You see him, you watch him at home. You know, women, what on earth is this? The only reason I'm going ahead to say this is because when I was sitting there, I heard this. And I didn't, so I just found myself saying, and maybe it's a word for someone. Don't despise the beginning of a thing. Oh. It may have little beginnings, but the end. Are you planning to stay in a beginning permanently? Is it not the end of a thing that is better than the beginning? So the God who knows the end is who you should be listening to. Now, why are women more attracted to establishment? Because women are attracted to security. I'm not saying you should go marry some tout of a boy because, well, pastor, it's a lie. It's me that will spoil it. So you want to marry this one? These lazy bones. If you know what is good, run. That's why, guys, you better be serious-minded, though. Don't say I didn't tell you. Today my mouth is wide open. Be careful. The things I whispered to my wife, I'm saying it open now. Today is a good day to ask questions if you are wise. But it's not a Bible study. I don't know why. Be careful like this. You're a male and you're lazy. And I'll just block you on every side. Bah, you say this one, I block. Bah, I block. Blocking you. You know how I block you? It's very easy. Run. That's all. One word. Not two. No sentence. I don't have to tell you what I say you should run from. All you men that don't respect me, you don't know what power is. be foolish when the day comes. I don't. Your chances have just ended. You can hate me if you like. Just don't try to poison me. Oh my God. No, but I'm serious. If you're a guy, better be serious minded. You're a male. The house sits on your shoulder. Don't come and be looking for a doctor. What are you reading? Why are you asking? When they ask you, say a Greek. Say, no. A Greek is not good. Every people are going to have money. No. Music. No, Nigeria is changing. All these foreign things are about to become very relevant. I'm actually pitying people that haven't. The world is changing. I don't know if you know. The world is changing. Things that were insignificant are going to become very significant, and vice versa. Nigeria is changing dramatically. Now you can, people, parents, a short time ago, you couldn't say, I want to read music, I want to play football. You couldn't try it. Now, your parents are saying, all these books, can you play football? Go into photography. Oh my God. I'm thinking of something that will make guys run away. Religious and cultural studies. Zoology, maybe. Who said Yoruba? Yes. Pick a Nigerian language. That's why we say Igbo. Ibibio. Woo! You know what they call it here? They call it linguistics. Call it Ibibio. Oh my God. Anyways, what's my point? Girls, don't despise. Have a relationship with God. Make that your priority. And then if God says something, even if it looks scary, even if he looks scary, don't worry. You know God can say something and it doesn't apply for the next 4 years and all of that. So it looks like a stick. But by the time you marry it, it might have added weight. Have added weight a bit. And vice versa. Don't judge anything by eyes. Don't have any of those weird. If you haven't listened to all those messages on marriage, I know there are clips and all that. I know we have some audio clips and all that haven't gone out. I don't know what's happening in this house. That's up to you people. Maybe because you don't love the brethren enough. If you love Christians, you throw those things out there. Let them hear. Let other people hear too and learn something and be delivered. Why watch your friends? As time goes, your friends, people you know, they'll be married. And then you start hearing stories. Now there's a time when your life is, as time goes on, you know, in a 10-year window from this time, many things will be very different. And what you know now will influence a lot of that. What you know ahead of time. Ahead of time. It equips you to be victorious in so many ways. So for the guys, you must be hardworking. You must apply yourself. Don't be lazy. Don't be ridiculous. Don't act like a woman is going to take care of you. Don't ever. Yes, your wife might have a larger income than you. It doesn't matter that much. If she's a God-fearing woman, it'll be fine. But your mind has to be made up. Now, don't compete with your wife. Oh, you have this job. You're a teacher. Your salary is 55,000 naira. It's okay. Because you're a teacher, it doesn't mean you can't do some entrepreneurial stuff on the side. You can sell something. You can do something else. You can run a business. You can have a skill. One of the things, you know, I admire so much, have a skill. Learn how to sew. Now that Stephen is learning how to sew, the rest of you are walking around feeling pipe.
with yourself, you go know. You go see when the time comes. When holiday comes, we're floating around. Don't go and tell your parents, give me money to go and apprentice now. Joke around. Walk around this life looking for money first. Don't be looking for money first. I've told you for years. Look for skill. Skill. It can't be taken away from you. I told you scary stories. There's nothing I have not told you. I told you about the Second World War. Nazi Germany, Hitler, in the concentration camp, they would bring Jews from everywhere. They say, all those that have a skill, stand this way. All those that are wealthy and rich and had no skill, stand this way. Then they take them away and get them, tell them to dig trenches. Then they shoot them all dead and throw them inside. And that poor wretched shoemaker stays. And they use him to make military boots. Use him to, the tailors to sew clothes. Whatever skill you had, they used it. That kept you alive. All those that were very wealthy or comfortable, but you knew nothing. You couldn't walk with your hands. You were educated. They are not looking for educated people. They're looking for skilled people. Sorry, you dead. Boom. Skill is good. Skill can bring income. Skill will enable you. Even if it's a skill of selling, the fact that you sell this, you sell that. Some people, that's your skill. Some of you have to learn it. You buy this from this, you work on it a bit, you sell it. You touch it up, you sell it. You clean it up, you sell it. You polish it, you paint it, you sell it. The same thing, you pick up cheaply, almost as scrap. You can convert it. That's a whole thing. I know, again, things are still tough in our economy, for the kind of people that may buy things, but there are things to do. Believe me. Believe me. The skill of manufacturing something. You learn that? Job, no job, doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. The government, the last I heard, I don't know what now, but they had planned to train 770,000 people. 1,000 from every local government or so. And like other plans they had, they usually do it and give them money and give them equipment and give them all those things. They may have done some already, I'm not sure. And they equip people and send them out. Why? You hear a thing like that, you avail yourself of the opportunity. All this endless, I'm going to school. Cannot eat your books. Learn skills. Know how to cook. Cook well. Tell people I can cook. Go. You're cooking. I'll come and join you and cook. When you have occasions, invite me. When you're making things, call me. Go there. Be involved in cooking. You're involved in catering. Be involved. Whatever it is, be involved. Be involved. Work hard. Work well. I keep telling our people, even if they are not paying you, do it. No. How can they pay me so little? Are they feeding you? Yes. What do you need in this world? Food and clothing. Do you have clothes? Yes. Is that not food? Stay in one place. How many years does it take to develop skill that they can pay you to provide? Put that skill inside you, and then when the time comes, I don't know. I wish we could have a caterer. I don't know where to find a caterer. I'm a caterer. Really? Yes, now. Spent 2 years, 3 years training. There's nothing I can't make. Human head pepper soup. Anything. Sorry for such a macabre joke. Do not have nightmares, I pray. I can do anything. Wow. And you didn't tell me. That came here to reader. The richest people in the world, most of them walked away from school. I keep telling you. Bill Gates. Steve Jobs, before he died. All of them. They were in school. They walked away. They got up. Mark Zuckerberg. They left school. I don't know if you understand what it means to be in school and to leave. Do you understand that Bill Gates was not poor? His family was wealthy. His father was a lawyer. Not poor at all. Has nothing to do with money. Steve Jobs was because of money. His family had adopted him. And because, if you don't know who Steve Jobs is, Apple, your iPhone, everything. Mac, Apple. And he leaves because he discovers that this family that had adopted him on the condition that they will send him to school, to university, to college, as they call it in America. And they were borrowing money to keep their promise that they had made when they adopted him as a baby.
And when he discovered this, my adoptive parents are killing themselves, he left school so they'll stop borrowing money. Do you understand? Are you understand what I'm saying? He left school and traveled so that they can't say, no, stay. So he walked away so he can borrow for nothing. And that's how, you know, he freed them up. And he would walk into classes that were free, open, you know, in one university there, and sit. And he liked attending the art class where they learned to write calligraphy. That's why the font for Apple. Now, everybody has the same thing, but years ago, Microsoft was Apple, everything about Apple tended to be fine, fluid. Now, things have changed, but long ago, things were because of his calligraphy classes that he attended for free. Because he was not a student. He would walk in classes, he would just walk in and be there amongst them. All right. But Bill Gates walked away from school. Mark Zuckerberg walked away from school. Some of these people, I think Mark Zuckerberg dropped out from school. Didn't he? Can't be because of money. So there are people that do this. Our thinking is no. You know, just hearing me say some of this, some parents would want to mob me. How dare you say such a thing? And I'm not saying you should walk away from school. But if God ever tells you, it's not even that hard to know. So many people have done it. Someone gives you an opportunity to do a business that will bring you 10 million in 6 months. You won't defer admission. You won't. People don't get political appointments and things and they defer the admission. So why do we be reasonable? Don't be unreasonable. Don't be childish. It's children that think, no, I must finish. Finish what? Finish what? And when you finish finishing, you come and eat finish. Have a dish of finish. No, you have finished you. Because you should have paused. There's nothing wrong with pausing in this world. I've always told you guys. God does pauses. These are God. He does pauses. Pause. Go. Pause. Go, 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 go. Pause. We hate pauses. If you're like me. Well, worse than me. Because we have learned that pauses are godly. Elijah, hey! 3.5 years. Where Elijah did? Nobody knows. The God that does things like that, you don't know. Jesus, angels are singing. We sing, angels are singing. The son is born. From Egypt. Creep back. Nazareth. How long? 30 years. Except for that brief incident at 12. Where he came out of the house, temple for the first time. Yay! Then he goes back. You don't hear about him again for 18 years. That's our God. So this mindset that once I start, I will bulldoze anyone that stands. All these are your idols that you came up with. And you have learned it from bad company you keep. You have mindsets that are not scriptural. This is the importance of studying scripture. We have mindsets that we think as though the Bible says, and thou shalt begin and thou must end immediately, shortly thereafter. For if thou hinderest my flow with thee, I shall no more go with thee. I the Lord speaketh. No, it's not the Lord anything. There's no place that told you God does that. God, God took the children of Israel, purposely took them and placed them in a place next to the Red Sea where they couldn't move. Go and read the story if you have not read it properly. Who has read it properly? Who saw that he set them up? You haven't read? He brought them there and boxed them in. They couldn't go left or right. Purposely. He could have led them in other directions. He led them to that place. And then the people got up. See Egypt coming. They say, you see, Moses, are there not graves in Egypt? So we have to die here and vultures will eat us. At least if we died back there, they would have buried us. We would have had respectable bones. You know, it really matters. Tired, dead. God did. Moses joined and cried, God, why? And the Lord said, why are you crying? You're tired. Do you know my plans? You guys are thinking of escaping. Me, I'm thinking of wiping out finishing what I began. So when they got too near, he put a wall of darkness, smoke, between them to hold them up. Hold on, hold on, hold on, Egypt's Pharaoh's army. The pot I'm boiling for you is not yet done. Hold on. Water is not hot enough yet. Hold on, sir. Moses, yeah. Clear the way. Clear space. Go. Then when it's time, are you guys almost gone? Boom. See them. So you're dead. Ah, the ways of God. Leave God alone to be God. You be follower. Don't put your mouth in things higher than you. You don't know what is happening. You think you know. You don't. Why didn't God just explain, Moses? You know, I tell you all sorts of things. All right, so this is the plan from the beginning. God, is it that you like giving us heart attack? No, I want you to trust in me. That's all. I don't understand. If you would have just explained, see, this is the plan. If I told you the plan, Moses would have been, guys, don't worry. You soon see something, but don't worry. And then Moses becomes Oga Confido. Very overconfident. He will whisper it to Aaron. Aaron, don't tell anybody. This is what God told me before I even came out. God never does that. Do you read your Bible? Read Esther. Read every. He has all these plans up his sleeve. So when he says, follow me, obey me, he's testing you. Why? Because you're not worthy if you don't pass the test. When you act ahead of him, therefore, why should he pull out his aces? For what? You didn't wait. You took off. You're the leader now. So God, who thought he was leading you, goes that, oh, okay, no problem. Ciao. May you allow God to be God. If only I would understand. Understand what? David told you. He said, I do not concern myself with matters that are too high for me. I'm like a weaned child in his mother's breast. I'm like a weaned child. Have peace. If only I could understand. Understand? If you understood, you would spoil it. You would spoil it. You spoil everything. God tells you, marry her. I know you don't have anything. Don't worry. My plan is that week of the wedding, by 2 p.m., 2 days before, you get your first thing. With that paper, you can borrow money from the governor, anybody, this and that. What will you do? How will you approach her? That's how you'll be chatting the girl. There'll be no humility. See, this thing I'm about to tell you, I'll tell you once. After that, your chance is gone. But if, oh God, you sabi say you poor. Even poor people call you poor. When they are giving an example, they say, we thank God, it's not like... I'm saying, sorry, excuse me. What I'm about to say, don't be offended. In fact, I'm more or less sharing it because I saw it. I've seen it 4 times now, and I spoke to Andres. Just the way you hear, just hear. It's okay, so you can think about it. At least there'll be some humility. The one that you go and say, God, to be close to you is heaven. Not to the girl, to God. Oh, the wonders of your grace. And tears are coming. And we are wondering, what are these tears? Is it tears of joy? It's tears of God. If you don't help me. You become the humblest version of you there ever was. Don't you know grace is attracted to the humble? Grace walks around. It moves to human pride. Grace goes... That's how grace deals with pride. And you gotta marry her with no grace. She's in trouble. She's in trouble. You got no grace. You married a graceless man. Even if your name was Grace, and they married you, graceless minus grace, and they enmeshed like that, what will be left is nothing. Less than grace. Ha. God does not tell us because there is no faith in those who know. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God wants to be pleased because all things were made for him, for his pleasure, for his pleasing. I want to say pleasure, but that's what it says, but what's pleasure? To be pleased. All things were made for his pleasure. They are and were created. You are one of the things that we made to please him. And you want to exist without pleasing him, then why are you occupying his world? Are you understanding this? So God doesn't tell you that your intense discomfort. How many of you have gone through periods of intense discomfort due to the uncertainty and you survived? We are here. We are here. You dead? Let the dead one say yo. You are alive. Child of God, cool down. I know, let me tell you the hard part is when you think God has stopped playing these games. You're like, whoo. You share testimony of how you went through a period. Then he does it again. You're like, but God, I know now. I've agreed. We do it to her. What? Not me. Me, we've been doing this thing. God doesn't seem to think so. He's like, oh boy, long since I taste faith from your life. Everything is so smooth. Everything is so orderly. You're so confident of everything. Where's his guardian angel? Come, let's cook up something. Now, as I'm doing this thing, don't say anything. And something to squeeze out some faith from you again. Child of God, have peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Have peace, have peace, have peace, have peace, have peace, have peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God is not dead. Neither does he hate you. He's just shaking you for some pleasure. He wants, I smell faith. I always like this scent. He's not trying to destroy you or kill you or anything like that. All this, that's the devil lying to you. So back to our story. The sister, in between, I'm preaching my full sermon. If you like here, if you like, be there. So you say, do you know he spent my time talking about? No. I've preached two or three separate sermons already. Attending to your issues. You know yourselves. Now, when I therefore had this dream and told her, and I prayed for her, and she begins to renounce. I renounce, you know, and all those things. And all of that was happening. And God now revealed to her that, look at, this was inside of you. So she had been hearing that demonic voice. And then God now takes her back all the way. But I want to tell you guys something. It started in 2017 when she came near me. 2017. God started a process of delivering her from vanity, from a spirit of vanity or a spirit of actually, vanity is a symptom, a branch of, I know you guys like saying words like low self-esteem, but it's not really just low self-esteem. It's self-abhorrence, self-hatred. You hear that now? You saw her, she was sharing, healing was still happening. If someone had told her she has it, you know how surprised I was to hear her say it. Even when she told me, she didn't say as much as she said here. Who would have thought that she walks around with the thought, I'm ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly. How does it even make sense? That's the power of life and death that's found in the mouth. And from her mom saying, go, why do you look like this? Go and use father, go, you know. So a spirit of rejection came on her in that area. Powerful demon, one of the most powerful spirits. In the world, if you were in the Passover retreat, all the many demons I called and cast out when I said rejection, you saw what happened. Now the whole place finished. That was the end. If you didn't call in, did we call her anything after that? That one carried till the end of the meeting. You touch that guy, you can touch bestiality. It will go on. Touch rejection. That thing, you know, I was looking at it, I was saying, these are God's lighthouse people. That your pastor has spent years speaking healing, laying hands. You've experienced love, endless things, and you're still so wounded. Can you imagine what's happening in the body of Christ? That's why I keep begging you, grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up. There's a lot of healing to do. And most of it is not external. It's internal. There's broken and wounded people at every level. When I look at people, so she's mixed up and struggling with this makeup thing because she's walking around with a sense of ugliness, thinking I am ugly, I am not fine, I'm worthy to be rejected, carrying that around day and night. I remember another of our sisters said, she said, I felt nobody in this world could love me. I am so terrible. If I didn't know she's not mad, I would have thought, this girl, do you have a record of insanity? How does what you're saying, do you mean you actually think it? Are you faking? But I found out it's a very common thing. It's unbelievable. The things people carry around the power of words. But it's not the words only. It's the demons that came through. Those words opened the door. Demons came in. It's not natural. It's demons. So people are walking around. So you can tell them anything. They can seem to love God no matter how much they love God. But when it comes to things like makeup and all that, don't touch it. Don't come near me. Even when they do it in their hearts, you know, like she had said in when she spoke to me, she said, when I'm around our brethren, I don't feel it. Why? Because there's no, that spirit of that world is not there. But once she's in other places, she feels it strongly. So that she was looking at her own brethren here and despising them. She hasn't despised them all these years still. She's around. So that quickly, easily, she switched sides and was on the side. Maybe that's part of that dream that was seen 3 years ago or more. He switches sides and starts accusing us in her mind. That, why are we like that? Why are they like this? And some of you have that. You struggle with that. You despise us. Sorry, but in heaven, most people, yes, everybody will be very fine, beautiful, but it won't be with makeup. You won't see any. And they're going to be really good. I hope you don't keep comparing with the other side, because I don't think they will have makeup. I mean downstairs. I think it might melt. Does that thing melt? You see? You dare not despise the godly ones. Holy ones. You dare not. If you have any sense in your head, you dare not despise it. Ever. You dare not despise a child of God. You better not look at people on the outward. Do we know any man after? Therefore, now, we know no man after the flesh. You better know people after their spirit. When you look at people, what are you admiring? Be admiring, oh, she's so meek. Everyone here, except you got born again just last week. I'll forgive you. But if you have not come to the place where the reason you admire a brother, a sister, especially with the sisters, if you haven't come to the place why you admire them is that, oh, her character. If you go to people, that's why I feel, quite disgusted few times in years past when I've heard someone say, don't look like that. Now, if you know me, okay, fine. For those who don't know, you know, I'm saying this with care so I don't get into trouble. But I have a sense for beauty, okay? I like symmetry. I like things being orderly. So, if you don't know, sometimes I'm the one that makes sure some people make their hair that have been walking around looking somehow. I'm the one that passes and goes. This is your hair. I'll say it lightly so you don't feel bad or anything. You know, I'm thinking if you put the hair like this, all that. And somehow I don't have money and all that. And I may go behind and give someone and say, give her. That to make her hair, you know, or something. You know, I have leaders meeting and I turn and look at the leader. How's your hair looking like this? You don't know how to play hair. Stand up. Make it. Right there. Now, sometimes they are struggling. No, I don't want to make my hair. I say, I will beat you. So I don't want you to be frumpy. Huh? I don't want you to walk around looking like a missing bag. That the wind enter under. No. Don't misunderstand me at all. Don't misunderstand. Now that I've settled that, and you know I'm a good guy. One of the good guys. Now let's go back to what matters in life. That's not the same as looking like Jezebel. That's nothing to do with that. Or living for, or doing things you can't afford. No, no, no. I will never approve that. Don't do anything you can't afford and so on. So, what you should do is know in your heart, the one thing that matters to me is that in your heart. So sometimes I see someone, they have a new look and all that. It's a very humble look and it's good. I could leave you for years. But if I sense, okay, you know, because of your job or because of this or that, I may say you could. Now I was talking to one sister, she was about to travel. And I said, you know, if you hold your head like this, your face looks different. And I took my phone, I took it, and I said, hey, and she was smiling, and she was laughing, and she couldn't understand what was happening. She had no idea. Now she'll hear this audience, she'll know what I was doing now. See, the cat is out of the bag. Can you guys delete? But literally, because there's a way she will hold her hair and you make her face look so severe. It will make her face look very severe, like that. You know, so, you know, I thought if your hair frames your face, it softens your look. Now you wonder, how can I pass? When do you pause reading the Bible to go and know that? I know very many things. I don't know how I know some. I don't know it. I did find out in secondary school. I can draw. So I have a clue. So, you know, simple thing. It's the same hell, but just let it come down as opposed to. Man, enter trouble. All this laughing, I laugh now. I'll enter trouble. I will come and say, sir. I'll say, what? I'll feign ignorance. The point is, there's a time for everything, okay? And even in that everything, there's a way for that everything. You don't go around living as though, what do you come to earth for? Be very careful. Demons use things. So even if I do any of these things, it's not the one, God forbid I open the door to a demon to come on you. Or a demon that was cast out of you. So there are people that they walk around doing certain things because they think they are unworthy. There are these other ones that do this other one because, you know, so there's sometimes this, God is trying to teach some people different, completely opposite things. So you need to get rid of all these kinds of clothes and look at this. You need to buy a few clothes that fit you better. Not seductive, none of that. Not tight. Already, most of you, judgment day will be tough because your clothes are too tight already. You're already in trouble. But there's a balance that looks nice. You know, I thought I was coming to talk about angels. God, I pray this is your will, though. Have peace. So if you're visiting and you're like, ah, you see, I knew you missed it. I knew you missed it. You don't know anything of the sort. You don't know anything of the sort. Have peace. Anything I'm saying, still God. The Holy Spirit in me. Now, so the balance is what's important. People carry around a self-hate, a self-loathing. That is, it can't be of God. It's of the devil. The Bible says you are beautiful and wonderfully made. And he said that to every one of you. Including the guys. If God could say to a guy, you're beautiful and wonderfully made. You think? Because we look at most of these guys. They often think, you know how they made Adam? They don't pack the mud. Grok, grok. Guys, sorry. That's how they made you. And they wanted to make the woman. They now brought a small piece from inside you, not even inside. They made the woman.
You guys are not laughing now. How many times have you been chased? You know how many times they chase a girl for, you know how many times they chase a girl? She's not even 15. She has been chased by all sorts of creatures, great and small. Man, every one you go towards runs. Females are different from us. It is a lot in life. We take it as we see it. Have you heard? I know some of you are feeling, no, you don't know, I'm a fine guy. I'm a fine guy. You haven't answered my question. How many people have chased you since you were born? We want to find out from girls how many people have chased them. They can't count. Is it the one that have collections of their pictures from their DP piled up and go around showing people, this is my girlfriend? Keep changing your pictures on your DP day and night. If you know whose girl, if you know how many boyfriends you have that you have never met, even you say, this is not a good girl. Guys, don't be changing your DP pictures up and down. Just leave it alone. Put one picture. It doesn't have to be you. Put a picture of the word of God. It's sufficient unto me. Don't advertise on WhatsApp. Even if you have demons, put your tongue back inside. Oh, what's that? Come put back your tongue. If your demon says, stick a tongue and say, I bind you. Open your mouth. That laugh, people are laughing. I hope none of you has a picture where you stuck out your tongue. You dare not. Don't use your picture thing. Anybody that is on your DP can save your picture. Long after you change it, they've saved it. And if you know the issues guys have, if girls even have issues, then guys, they can pack it hundreds, save all, pile it like this and keep, and track your lifespan. In the future, the husband you marry will never have the number of pictures. Who gave him? You. Since you thought that the photo albums are present tense, digital places. If you ever want to know what you should do in your picture, ask yourself, could you carry your photo album to class and pass around to strangers, to everybody? That my family members. I don't care what Facebook says. They are suing Facebook. They are going after Facebook in different ways for many things. They've brought out studies where they knew the harmful effects of what they do. I've told you for years. Before now. If even they know. The spirit, the queen of the world, she got free of that after just now. And I'm saying it's taken. So let's say it came in January 2017, right? 17, 18, 19, 20. This is nearly the end of 21. This thing just happened about 2 weeks ago. So I can say probably for the first time, she's fully delivered. Look at how long it has taken for God to track and go and show her the roots of her self-loathing. Look at how long. And these are the things that terrify me when people stand and fall. You don't know what you want to be. You better stand. Because you are far deeper than you know. And it takes time to get to the heart of the matter. Are you hearing me, God's Lighthouse?
Yes, sir.
What did I say takes time? It takes time to get to the heart of the matter. Look at me, I deceived myself all these years. With so many, but I had learned. People walking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's done. That's why nothing on TV, nothing online, nothing
For those who know, you know, you've been here. I'm telling you so you know. You watch on TV, someone falls, you say it's done. What was done? Because there were 300. What was done? 20 left. There's 280 remaining. Which is why a church, a proper church, is where you must plant yourself. You don't have time and you're being erratic. What do you think will happen? So she, let's say she had gone. Let's say she had, life had moved her on. She's another part of the world, another state. She's living there. She's married. She's settled. She has children. You think it's not still there? I've told you, most women, I'm not saying men, men have their own, but I'm talking about this matter of self-hating. It's a female thing greater. The men, it drives them to run after money. That's why they can join a secret society that may take their children's life and they still join. Because they want to be deemed worthy of respect. And it can drive them to do almost anything. Can drive them to despise God. I want all of us to understand that God loves you the way you are. You must accept what God says about you. And what He says about you is that you are beautiful in His eyes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because He made you. And when He makes things, they are good. Hey, but if He made, look at how my forehead is. Hey, look at if only my ears, if only. No. That thing you're talking about may be the only thing that attracts you to your spouse to you. Male or female. Have peace. And even if it is not, if that thing makes you feel embarrassed, it's okay to have things that make you feel humble. Remember, grace is given to the humble. Don't feel bad about having humbling conditions in your life. Are you hearing me? As you grow older in the Lord, you find out and you actually try. In fact, the wiser you get, you will humble yourself. It's called humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. You will purposely put yourself in circumstances that make you feel less confident in yourself. Anyone that teaches you to have confidence in the arm of the flesh has done you wrong. Do not drive hard or push for anything that exalts you or your fleshliness. It's unnecessary. It's not just unnecessary. It blocks the grace of God. You need all the grace you can find. So welcome God's humbling additions to your life. Know that in the age to come, you won't have any of those humbling situations. You won't have a single one. That thing that embarrasses you, none of it will exist. All will be gone. So if God says, manage this for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, is that too long? But you endure all sorts of things for a short time because of the gain you have at the end. You suffer, you read, you go to work, but you're hoping that in the future it will be better. So it is. You endure things. You go and stay with someone so you can attend classes or start a job. And you know it won't last forever. You know it will end. So you endure it. That's what you must know. Whatever circumstance or condition God puts you in this age, it is for a while, it will come to an end. Embrace it while it lasts. Like the person who is learning how to sew, the apprentice that is told, we've seen it sometimes. Have you seen apprentices? Sometimes kneeling down by the side of the road because they went late for work or they did something. And this is a grown-up guy and he's a tough guy in his town, in his village. And here is his boss saying, go and kneel down there. And every passerby seeing them, the mighty Orikoko is kneeling down. Yes. This happening, babe, if you don't like it, leave the place. But that embarrassment is for a while. It will end. So don't carry any embarrassment as though it's the end of your life. God allows some. Some is not God. Some, your ignorance is why it's still there. You simply don't know it can be gone like that. Some. But even while it's still there, till you lose your ignorance and you come to know, use it for good. Do you understand? Take out what you can from it. Seek the gain you can from your circumstances. That humbling circumstance. Seek the good you can. Don't hate yourself. Don't be angry with God. Don't be offended. And you dare not say, the reason I'm like this is because God. No, it's none of that. It's because you're foolish. I'm proud. And God is trying to teach you that humility is a good thing. This circumstance will not last forever. So use it. Of course, you know, many times God allows it stretch because you have not learned the lesson. Like having a carryover. So it keeps stretching until you agree. As far as I know, I don't know that God ever, I don't know you can ever twist God's arm or win him in arm wrestling. I don't know that. I don't read it's ever happened. It doesn't matter who you are. All right. It took nearly 5 years for God to deliver her. I mean, from the time God began to deliver her. From the time he began to deliver her in this congregation. It's taken about 5 years for God to finally put his finger on the matter and say, you see this thing you take like the norm? This is how it started. This is how the door was opened. And finally, she comes into the light. And that's in itself is the major thing God is always trying to tell us. How many of you want to come into the light? May God answer your prayers. When you come into the light, everything is easier. Now, some of you have already come into the light on some the root issues. Many have. I've seen many. But some have not. And I'm trying to encourage you with this to know that you may be thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Sometimes you didn't open up completely when it was time to open up. Some you left out things. You didn't pause and think. The typical person does not really want to discover that there's something wrong that they have not dealt with. They like to, if you like to deal with an uncomfortable issue and move on. But if you humble yourself and pause, remember, pause. Learn to tell yourself, pause. If you humble yourself and pause and say, God, please, put your finger on this matter. Don't stop till you have touched the heart of the matter. Did you hear? I came in towards the end of Sister Favor Omuli's testimony and she said she was walking and she reached in. That sadness she had felt. I didn't hear the beginning of her story, how it came or anything, if she shared it, but she said she reached in and felt around and could not find it anymore. Yes. God is not in as much of a haste as you think. With God, it's okay to take time to heal. He came to heal the brokenhearted. This sister had become brokenhearted due to the things her mom had said at those times. It had wounded her soul. Damage her self-esteem, like happens with many, many females. Open the door for a spirit of rejection, which often leads to that dual schizophrenic personality. That's why she was two. When she came near the time we pray for her, we see two of her. A mask, we see one, see another one. And it was confused till I had to ask, go ask your mother, were you born twins and one died or something? Because every time, the God was showing us, and that's something I've seen more than once, when I prayed for people and for deliverance from schizophrenia. You see, some of them have multiple personalities, and they don't even know, till you get to the root of the matter, how they came to be. Like a hive of bees. You have to drag it out. Every other thing you're doing is whitewashing. That's why if you want to be properly, if you know you're not okay, you've been given the tools. You should have used it. You have to be sincere with this God. You must be sincere and ask him, show me. I'm ready. Show me. Why? If you don't deal with it, you carry that baggage around. You carry it to your house. You carry it to your family. You pour it out on your children too.
Yes. It goes on. It continues. Yes, many times parents say things is because they are not here. That's how it passes, in case you don't know. It goes on and on. When you hear them say it's a family thing, that's how. Because somebody was not here. But when you are healed, it stops with you. You only pass on what you carry. You can't pass on what is not in you. So if you wish well for your lineage, try and be the one, clean up so it doesn't pass. Clean up thoroughly. Give no room to the devil. Give me that passage. Give no room to the devil. You can give room to the devil. You can welcome the devil to come and occupy a room in your life, in your house. Your life is a house. If you will be free and have nothing crawling around your house you don't like, ensure that you track down, follow it through. Could she have been freed earlier? I think so. Could this have happened a year or two ago? I think so. Could it have happened in months? Depends on God's plan, because God uses all of this too. To teach. In between is allowing the lessons sink in. Sometimes he may have allowed it to drag because there are people that need to hear this now that were not here yet. You never know God's plan. It's endless. I want us to understand that God is good to Israel, to those who love him. He knows what is best for us. And he will give us what is best for us. It may take time for him to achieve it, but eventually he will do the needful. And how will he do it? Before we pray, I'll say a few. I'll open a scripture or two and read. Today is not a Bible study. Are those questions regarding things I have said? I hope nothing there concerns the fate of India in the coming elections, because people are wonderful. Quickly.
When a Christian tries to make a living from his musical skills, he is usually accused of wanting to make himself popular. How can someone who is gifted in art, make a living from it and be safe?
Talk to your pastor. Talk to your pastor now. Eh? People usually accuse. Did I say you shouldn't care about what people say in this world? May people not dictate how your life runs, though. May you find out God's will. And I would also say to that person, I presume you're a newer Christian. Please, can you spend time praying and talking to God? Can you develop a relationship with God? Like, it will really help you. You see, this is my life. In our relationship with God, there comes times everybody is against you, but you know it is God's will. There's nothing that gives confidence like knowing. There are even times your pastor will oppose God's will due to tradition. So if you know your pastor, is that an online question? Okay, I saw something like that online some months ago or last year. But the truth is this. You have to learn to know the voice of the enemy, the accuser, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, the convictor. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of something and says, don't do something, don't do it. I do not find attractive. Usually, I know when people ask questions like that, you're either a very new Christian or you're an unserious Christian, and you probably deserve anything that happens to you. Be serious. If you're not careful, you like to use God and make money, to be honest. Why are you not close enough to God for him to give you a revelation of his plan for your life? Huh? I don't know any other way. You get close to God, he will tell you things. How do I know I'm supposed to be a preacher after all the school I went to? Is my relationship with God acquired over years?
and attempt to follow him faithfully. I've gone through dark seasons, uncertainty, but I am sure of his call. Will people oppose you? Will people mock you? Will people? Yes. You want people to line up and applaud you in this world? There's a devil. That will not happen. So do your best to have a close relationship with God. Please. I am far more concerned about the lack of relationship you have with God than that thing you're talking about. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's music, whether it's preaching ministry, whether it is teaching ministry, whether it is becoming a teacher. God could call you to become a teacher in a nursery school. It would be as much God's call on your life as being an apostle of the Lamb. You do whatever God says. You walk. I heard the other day someone sharing me about Arome Osai. And they said when he came to you some weeks ago, that he said, I think he was from that program, that he said God didn't allow him, he was working in an oil company earning more than $1 million every month. And God didn't let him buy a car. He used public transport. You know this story I've been telling. I had no idea. You know I've been telling this story about how God may not allow you to have a car, you have to use public transport. He said that that's what happened. I was astonished. I said, wow. You know? And this sister of mine was saying, oh, that he, you know, went through, and then when it was time, and God told him at the time, he told him, don't buy a car or something. I can't remember. And he bought. God took it. It was stolen within, disappeared like that. And then he, you know, and then the time comes, God tells him, leave the job. He walks away from it. So what? Cool down, people. Cool down in this life. I've told you for long, be cooling down. So you may think, if only I achieve this, I'll have this. Who told you you have that thing when you achieve that? Are you sure you will? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes from the Father of Light. So be careful, because you may not have that thing you think. You think that thing is a springboard to that. Are you sure? It may spring you to the other way. All right. So I'm saying have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with God. If there's nothing else I teach you in this place, have a relationship with God. Whoever it is, I hope they are still online. I hope they have not gone. I hope they will hear this message and know that their question was answered. Whoever asks about music, develop a relationship with God. That is your problem in this world. You don't have a proper relationship with God. That's all I have to say to you. If you have a proper relationship, God will tell you. You will see God's face. When you come out of it, you will be sure. And God will confirm his word to you through two or three. What brethren think, anybody thinks, people think, meaning what? Of all churches, is it from me? I preached even today earlier. I don't care about what anyone thinks. Look at the things I preach. Different from what almost everyone you know preaches. What does it matter? To my master, I stand and fall. Or stand or fall. If I am wrong, prove it to me. If I'm not wrong and you can't prove it, keep quiet and sit down in your corner. In between that, I will do God's will. I will seek God's face. I will pursue God's purposes. That's all that matters. Next.
Is it okay to marry your wife into your family house?
I don't like it because your mother is there. Except your mother is not there. It's only your father that is alive. It will be easier. It will be tough because your mother is going to place standards. Your wife will feel threatened. Your wife will be uncomfortable. I don't just tell you not to marry to your mother's house. I tell you not to have any of your siblings in the house you marry into. If your sibling has been living with you for 5 years, I tell you, they should pack. That a couple that just married. I told him, I hope nobody's brother is there. Let everybody be moving. Oh. It's not play. Oh. I'm not joking. Not here. No, even if the girl said, no, don't worry. No. You know, I don't want to see myself as if I'm the one dividing the family.
You divide first. You come back later. They are newly married. Go away, sir. Go away. The brother that has lived with him, I don't know how long, all the time, for so long. He went and rented a house, moved up. That's how it works. I don't understand anything else. You must think. The Bible says you leave your father and mother. You didn't read and cleave. Now, there are circumstances where you have to. You think that's too hard. Okay? They give you your own room, give you your own space. God is your help. I hope it will go well. You know? But be careful. Don't feel comfortable about doing that. Man, I'm not worried about you. I mean, you have the best of both worlds. A wife now and a mother. Come, what you're used to. But things may be tough and you can't and you have no option. It's not a sin. But anything that tampers with your ability to begin to bond with your wife is not good. I've told you, you know my story. Maybe the person that asked doesn't know. You know, I told my family, I told my wife's family, I told her to tell, after I marry, you can visit, but you don't sleep overnight. That was my law. Younger sisters quarrel. They are forgiven. They have to. Whether they're forgiven or not, it doesn't matter. But they have forgiven. You can't the sister us, you can't the brother us, you can't the family us, the sibling. That was my law. And I meant it. And I told them before. I didn't wait till after I married. So nobody would come and say, is that woman you brought in here? That's divine family. No. Has nothing to do with her. And I tell the guys that. If you know you're bonded to your mother, come for deliverance long before you marry. And some of you are. And it's not a joke. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. It's called a soul tie. It's a real thing. Soul ties are not formed only from sexual immorality. Okay? The other day I was praying for someone, soul tie with the mom, a lady, she began to manifest. It's not a joke. There's all sorts of ropes. This world is complete. Cut it. This world is complicated. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Me, no one can ever separate me from your mother. We must say, why do I tell people before you marry, better bring your to be betrothed, not betrothed, to be betrothed. Better, if you are wise, you better keep them in this space for a good while. Let's marinate them for a while. Soak them in salt solution. Let things break off. Or every lesson you will learn inside your marriage. Now, I'm not saying if it's not possible, you should do anything. Don't leave here and say, pastor said you're not married, except they came and said, I didn't say anything like that. Are you my witnesses? I've said nothing like that. You can bring them today or marry tomorrow. That's your problem. Just don't disturb me. That is all I say. Day after, do not disturb me. When you want to cry, call on the phone and permit me to drop the phone while you're crying. Permit me to be eating. Don't say, look, I'm crying like this. I can hear it's like chewing something. Don't even try me. Don't even try me. I will chew anything I like. I will eat it, share. I will do anything. Don't even try me. You are my witnesses. Every time I remind you, that's your marriage. I have my own. That's your marriage. So I encourage you. You're part of this family, this household of faith. I advise you to, when God has said it is the one, or you're not even sure, and the person say, I like you, I'll come around where you are. Allow them. You better allow them. If they can stay in this place, they hear the curse that will follow any 419 Judas character. They hear and they keep staying, and then they steal. Then it means they're authentic, or they are testing the Lord their God. No problem. Whichever one it is. But at least let them hear how your pastor thinks and how he has taught you to think. And if they still said, yes, no problem. He is the one I've been waiting for and she's the one. Whatever. Then it will help you. Why? The reasons I've always given. Guys have demons. Girls have demons. Christians have demons. The Bible calls it the children's bread. Demons are the children.
Deliverance from demons are the children's bread. That's what your Bible says. Deliverance from demons. That was the children's bread there. It was not healing from headache. It was not cancer. It was deliverance from demons. That should end all arguments. That's the children's bread that Jesus talked about. He just scraped it and said, okay, let me give the unbeliever. But he didn't want to give. He said, this thing is for my God's children. And we have, oh no, I'm a child of God. I can't have demons. You don't know anything. You have demons, sir. A demon of blindness. Better cast it out. You can cast it out. I mean, that testimony she was telling, she didn't say that one. That one, when she heard that old woman's voice, the Holy Spirit told her, place your hand on your head, rebuke it. And she was casting the demon and rolling around, casting her. So you don't even need me. Sometimes though, many times you need someone to help you. Because many times your mouth locks and all that. You can't even say Jesus. But the point is, if you bring them to a place where they hear the word of God, where they are prayed for, where you tell the guy, come. You heard our brother, you heard his testimony. Edidion Brownson? How I finished praying for him, and he came around, he was in my study, and he comes and sees that, he picks up his laptop bag. Next thing I see, I have to reach out and hold the laptop bag. I'm not too sure of what I'm saying. He slumps like a dead man. And when he comes back, and later on he's telling me, no, he had just shared that something with me that he has never shared before. He said he saw it since 2018 or so, when he was new. And you heard him. All those marriage postponements. There are different reasons that you know every detail you need to know. But what if he had married with you? You heard him. He said maybe the marriage would have lasted 1 week. You think it's about being married? It's a ring on my finger. Ring on my finger. Ring, ring, ring. So, it's just a thing. What does that mean? You'd have married. This was days to his wedding. Baggage. Demonic baggage like this. That specifically goes after marriages in their home. Heavy stuff. Real demon, sir. If you mean, sorry, it was a real demon. You'd have married with that. Isn't it better they are cleaned up? You have a bath, thorough bath before you marry. Other than that, you enter. You may even infect your spouse with the demon. Now, you see, you thought it was two people that joined. Well, it's three, four. So life is not, and I'm not saying you should walk around afraid. I'm saying you should spend the time before being married. Cleaning up. And sometimes, separating from your father's house is really important. Sometimes. Now, if your father's house is clean, spiritually and all that, it's fine. But some, it's better, I repeat, for your wife's sake, especially. For your wife's sake, because it sounds like a male other question. Not very cool. In protect your wife from family. It's just love and wisdom. Protect. When things happen, newly married, this applies to girls and guys. Don't go talking to family. I'm very bothered this day because of phones and people talking too much. That's why among the things we ask you to do, reduce the endless communication with parents. Don't be a baby. Don't communicate with your parents 2, 3, 4 times a day. Every day, I must talk. A day does not go past without me talking to my father. I'm his baby. Stop it. Stop it long before you marry. If you don't stop it long before you marry, you have issues in your marriage. I've told you far ahead. You can think whatever you like, but you will find out that it's true. May you not find out after endless trouble in your family life. That's a soul tie. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. You're going to tell him every problem you have. You're going to tell him every challenge. He will be your husband. Your husband will never stand a chance. You're going to compare your husband to him non-stop. Your husband will always be less than enough. My father always did. He always hugged me, always gave me a peck on the cheek, on the forehead. But he treats me like... Your husband doesn't stand a chance. Because the best you may see of how your husband behaves will be before you marry. Listen to me carefully. It will be before you marry. The most romantic side of him will come up before he marries. Listen, before they put a ring on your finger. And shortly after you marry, then it will wane. Then as time goes on, God knows when, 5 years later, 10 years later, God will help you. Then it may come back. It will come back because reality is set in. There's going to be fireworks will cease. It will be candles. If you hear my words and within you, you say, this man, I reject. Let me tell you what I've told people before. And those who don't know, give it time. You find out. Don't write the date. Say, on this day, I disagree. I will prove it to be wrong. And since I'm sure you cannot prove it to be wrong, put down the date, put down that I'm saying this. Keep the book well. But it's far better you ask questions than dispute. Humble yourself. You don't know everything. Millions, billions of marriages have gone before you. You should learn from those who go before you. So, if before you even marry, or from the early, you haven't created, do you know how it is when you want to write on a whiteboard? Don't you clean it first? Don't you wipe it first of the old writing? The old writing is your father's love. Psalm 45 verse 10. So you know I'm not just talking, it's in the Bible. Daughter, forget your father's house. You're not going to jump from me calling him all the time. Then the day immediately after you marry, you don't call him. It's called habits. It's called the force of habits. It's default. So you have to wean them off you gradually. You have to pray actually, because some, even if you try to let go, they may still be very wrong. I heard a woman, she was preaching in a women's conference, a white woman, but I think she's black American, kind of Canadian, I guess. I was given this. My brother gave it to me during my wedding set. It was a package, a foreign package with cassettes, Focus on the Family. I wish I could find that message or remember it. It's the funniest but very powerful message. And she talked about this woman there, how she and her husband, how they hated themselves. If not for their children, they would have divorced, separated. How, you know, the husband adored the younger daughter. How all that, and how God healed them. They got born again separately. They will have their morning devotion separately on either side of the bed. And then finally God began to heal their marriage and bring them together and became such a beautiful marriage. But she said amongst the processes they went through was to break off soul ties with their parents, both of them. She had to break it off with her father. The husband had to break it off with the mother. That the husband's mother would call him. They would talk on the phone for hours. It was normal for hours. And she would call him my $1 million bill. They had to break it, pray, but go to the parents and say, daddy, I love you, bet. Mommy, bet. And this is how many years after marriage? Maybe 20 something years, 30. Why do you have to wait that long? I believe in prevention is better than cure. Long, long ahead. Just deal with it ahead. Just enter free. How many of you rather enter free? Don't enter after ropes have dragged you till you can barely move. Help! Help! Why? Why? In between that, there's so much damage. So much damage. Families damage. So much damage. You could have cut off those things before. Be wise in this life. And don't presume you're wiser than anybody. You know what you know. You have seen what you have seen. It's not that much. Others have gone before. Learn. Learn from those who fear God. Because ask yourself, what need do they have to deceive you? Alright? So we believe in this thing. And it's not complicated. We are not a church where I'll tell you, oh God, 7 days dry. I don't do any of that thing. We finish eating them, we cast the demon out nearly after food. None of that matters to me. What matters is that you are free and the spouse to be is free, okay? Father's house is best stayed away from. Before, so instead, rent one room. No, but my father's house, there's so much space. Go first, come back later. Go and live alone first. then come back. If possible, I'll tell you, they even live in the same state. If possible, if you have a job elsewhere, don't say no. I can never make a decision based on your family. Mm-mm. In this time, we marry into a family. Stop that nonsense. Your family matters. I agree. They are very important and they are blessed. However, you're a new family unit. I won't even go into talk about men. Get the messages I've shared with the brothers or openly. Don't go, you want to make a decision. You call your father, you call your mother. Your wife hears about it later through your sister. And you're wondering and say, I don't know, my wife is. It's those kinds of demons. It's why they have to bring you first. Let's beat it out of you. Really, your wife hears it from your sister. All your family know. So from the beginning, you treat your wife like a stranger. She's a squatter in your family. What is your family? Your family foundation is you and her. All these guys, people are looking guilty. Oh. Don't try it here. You come here. You bring that sister from somewhere else. And don't even do it to her. So God will not deal with you. You have to have sense. If what I'm saying is surprising to you, so anything I'm saying is surprising to you, you can imagine how much more you have to learn. And there's tons more from where that came. So many things you need to know. There are people, as you say this to them, they just go like, that's his own. May God protect his daughters from me. I hope you take the counsel.
Some guys may believe that they are called to pastoral ministry full-time, so they ought to practice by not trying to work a job, and then they use it as an excuse to be lazy.
They are called to pastoral ministry full-time, long before they actually... Oh, they are called in the future. You know, my mom, you know, said... So there was... My parents... on a farm, you know, when they were around and my mom talked about when in the farm there was a hostel for some Bible school students of a certain church group, and the person was strolling about, is there anything there for? And he said, oh yes, yeah, so we have a job. We have an opening for something to that. And they say, no, we are called to ministry. We are not allowed to work. So they rather, they go around begging. Not here. Hey, God forbid. You haven't heard of Lester Sumrall? Lester Sumrall was called to be a pastor. He was on his deathbed from pneumonia or so. The Lord called him and said, will you be a preacher? He didn't get well till he agreed. God does not force. That's your problem. If you know how many stories I've heard where God forced, you can go and find them and tell them they didn't know what they're saying. That's your problem. God told him, you die here. He saw a vision. He saw coffin. Oh God. He finally said, okay, I'll go. He got well. So he was a preacher. He was raised from the dead to be a preacher. He left from there, went out, believed, I'm going to go around. I'm going to preach. All that. He goes to the first place he goes to preach. After that, where he goes to stay, or they say, come and stay here. The man gives him pearls to go and clean a pig house. Who has entered a pig house before? Is the modern one you entered? Is the stone one you entered? Not the modern one you entered, not the stone. This is a pigsty. You're talking about the 1930s. America. The man gave him pig. He had to clean out pig. Oh. He couldn't believe it. Was like, God, how? And God told him, oh yeah, do it. Be careful when God calls you young. I'm not saying he didn't call you. I'm not saying you spend your life moving pig slop. I am saying that laziness and work have nothing in common. You must work hard. You must work in this life. You must work. In Jesus' name, it's the will of God that you work. When Paul went to a new place and there was no preaching engagement and there was no financial support, he brought out his skill and started using it every time. When he lands in a place and he doesn't have support from the other churches at the beginning or whatever, he would work with his hands. As time went on, you can see it in his letters, there were other churches, people he had ministered to, and they are sending him support now. Are you understanding? They kept supporting him from other cities. They would send support, other regions. But there were times he got to a place, he didn't have support. He goes and joins himself to people that are doing his trade and starts working. He said to support not just himself, but the needs of those that are with him. What does this tell you? You better have a skill. You better be able to do something. You better not be school. I agree. You know, whoever asked that question, I don't know if you're new. My belief is that a full-time minister, you can't just say you're called to ministry. There's full-time ministry, there's none. If you have attended the classes we've had in the last 2 weeks in Gamka, you will know that everybody is called to a form of ministry, every child of God. But there are those that are called to full-time ministry, and that's not everyone. One of the ministries is giving, and your source of income may be business or a salary with civil service. That may be your source of income, and your calling is serving, giving. There's all kinds of this thing. You know, I believe they started putting out the videos, so make sure you get them. It's online, and watch them. Make sure you follow all those classes as you keep praying for us to have the equipment to be able to bring it out faster. We've had lots of equipment, wahala. You know, follow every class. God's Lighthouse. I was asking the people today, do your people think we are doing BBS? Make sure you, I advise you, while it is free. And your donations are welcome, because donations have helped us so far to even do anything. Now, he had to work, because it's God's will that you work. The Bible says, he that does not work should not eat. So the truth is, if you are being prepared for ministry, you're actually not ministering. Talk to me. He that walks in the temple should eat from the temple. 1 Corinthians 9. Are you walking in the temple? So what do you say again? You want to eat from where? May you be hungry. You better go and find a job and do. Whoever asks that question, find a job fast. Pray. I pray, God, you have a job in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Never stay. You are not walking in the temple. You say God told you you will walk in the temple. Now tell you. While you're waiting for the work to begin, the work will pay you. I am walking in the temple. So I eat from there. I walk. I'm walking. I've been walking. I keep walking. You, reading, kneeling down to pray, is not work. It's not the work. I'll walk. When it is time, God will let you know. Okay? All right.
Please, sir, how about guys who were brought up in a house where the girls did the cooking, house chores, and all of that?
Are you a visitor? If you don't know how to make 3 soups, guys, here, you don't know how to make a goosey, vegetable soup, and okra, I will not wed you if I'm your pastor. If you're somewhere else, you may escape. If you attempt to marry a sister from here, or I'm to marry you, you must know how to make at least 3 soups. I'm not including cooking rice and beans. That's basic. You must know how to boil yam. You may not know how to make stew. You're forgiven. But you must be able to make food. So if your wife takes in and is gone for mugwo or whatever, your children will not eat noodles. My spiritual grandchildren will not eat noodles. Jesus' name. That's all. If you don't like it, that's your problem. You're not a member of my church. If you're a member of my church, it's not a choice. Girls, 5 soups at least. Next point.
Please, sir, why do men feel intimidated with women who are their superior or bosses?
I don't know. Who said men feel intimidated with women who are their superior bosses? You know how many bank managers in Nigeria are women? Not managers, bank CEOs are the highest apex. So, I don't know. And people are saying, madam, and life is going on. You must be a small madam. That person has a small madam. Maybe. Maybe the woman is not good at her work or something. Men, of course, can be prideful. You should know that. Don't look for trouble. Don't rub it in. Maybe, but if you walk around thinking that all men everywhere are intimidated by women being their boss, it's not true at all. How would they have risen and risen and risen and risen till they are national and international bosses that are women? The men that were above them, wouldn't they have stopped them? How did they let them come up? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They let them. They voted them in. They nominated them. Men nominated most of those things. So how do you think that happened? So it's not true. In some cases, it may happen, but it happens on both sides because men feel that they are the top and it's a man's world. Okay? But don't believe a lot of the things you hear. Women actually are not naturally attracted to most jobs that men do. Naturally. Scandinavia, they did studies and found out over and over again. Scandinavia was the country where they first pushed the most strongly that women can do anything a man can do. And after everybody was sure for a long time that no one can stand in a woman's way, they discovered that all the women went and read nursing and all the feminine kind of jobs that used to be originally. Do you hear what I said? When there was no threat at all as to anyone trying to say you're a woman, they were the foremost in the earth in terms of female equality. All the women went and read nursing. All the women went and did women's jobs. The normal traditional women's jobs, because that's what comes to them naturally. And a lot of what they do, they are trying to prove something. Insecurity. Do not be insecure. Amen? I'm going to pray for 2-3 minutes and we'll be gone. Alright, have you learned anything today? I came to talk to you about angels. But we got, many times it happens this way, maybe it'll be tomorrow. Because the angels are coming. Come out early. Father, I pray it doesn't rain.
Amen.
Father, ask that you bless your children. Go with them.
Amen.
Begin to reveal yourself in a whole new way.
Amen.
Break the power of rejection.
Amen.
Fill them with grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give them peace, joy, counsel, and direction.
Amen.
Settle them in their respective homes when the season comes. Take away all their fears. Give them peace. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Every offering, Father God, I ask that you receive it. The ones given, the ones to be given. I ask that you cause it to multiply and serve your household. Those that have given from far and near, I ask that you replenish, 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 replenish. Thank you. Amen.
We pray God gives you understanding according to His word. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause His face to shine on you, and give you peace, now and forevermore. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.